friends in Christ, bid you grace and peace as we gather together for this fifth Sunday in the season of Lent. This message is for the 29th of March in 2020. As with last week, I will begin by reading the lessons for us and then continue into the message from Ezekiel 37, verses 1 through 14. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. And he led me around among them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, Prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will open your graves and raise you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord, when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The second reading, the epistle from Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And then finally, the gospel from John chapter 11, verses 1 through 45. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. And the disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and you are going there again? And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. After saying these things, he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I will go to awaken him. And the disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover. And now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died, and for your sake I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. And so Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And she said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. And when she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, the teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. So the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." And Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" And the man who had died came out, his hands and his feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, believed in him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. So I speak to you today in the thought of knowing that God is God, or knowing that Jesus is the Lord. I do so in the light of the Ezekiel passage from chapter 37, the repeat of the refrain three times in this reading, verse 6. I will lay sinews upon you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Then further on down in verse 13, and you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. Verse 14, and I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. We meet a similar moment in the gospel where both Mary and Martha come to Jesus with the sentiment of, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother may not have died." And with that, perhaps raise the moment that we may be familiar with in our time of where is God in the midst of the moment that we are living through right now. Isaiah, I believe this is in chapter 45, speaks of the hiddenness of our God. And the opposite, obviously, would be the visibility of our God. And with that, we could speak to the many ways in which we see and know God in obvious or tangible, more visible ways. One might be to say, well, I know God through his promises. I know him by virtue of the character of what and who and he has been, the deeds he has done of old. I know him through the story, the account of Scripture, the Old Testament into the New Testament. And I trust and I know him in this way. Others might say, I know God in terms of who he declares he will be in time. So in looking at the promise that is given to Ezekiel in relation to the resurrection of the body, both the Old Testament and the New Testament readings, there this moment of understanding that the promises that God gives to us of the future curiously have impact on the present in the way that we live now. Our present perspective and understanding of our current experience right now is transformed or changed based on the word or the promise that God has given to us in the future. But these readings for this Sunday do kind of continue a little bit on further, perhaps to give a greater definition to the message of last week, you know, recalling that of Jesus and his encounter with the man born blind, the purposes of God beyond simply the convenience or the ease for the man born blind or that of his parents, but the recognition that this is for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through that moment. So that theme is presented for us again this week with Mary and Martha and Lazarus. So here the moment moves beyond a kind of the general somebody knowing Jesus and calling upon him or calling upon God in their moment of need. Here these are our close friends. Clearly, as the crowd noted, Jesus is weeping over Lazarus or the moment of his sister's grief, and the crowd commenting then, you know, look how he loved them. We might think, you know, clearly those who are close to Jesus or are close to God in a way would have the privilege of calling upon him in their times of need and then expect, you know, an immediate response from God because of the relationship. And we see the opposite here, that Mary and Martha are calling upon Jesus, and Jesus seeing, being aware of their need, and yet he tarries or he delays, and he delays even to the point of Lazarus dying. And then the grief of the loss of Lazarus then filling Mary and Martha and consequently Jesus' hearts and their life together. All of this to say that we are invited to know our God in the midst of his hiddenness. The Latin or theological phrase here is Deus absconticus, or the hidden, unknown Lord. And the twist then in the Ezekiel reading, that you shall know that I am the Lord, or that you shall know, each this being repeated, you know, three times, that we may know the Lord God. Essentially, in the moment that Ezekiel is asked, you know, can these dry bones live? Ezekiel's response, O Lord God, you know, or perhaps you alone know, that Ezekiel is saying, beyond all the perception of these, you know, very dry bones, and the great expanse of them, perhaps Ezekiel referring to here what he knew of in time, that the historical record of Elijah and Elisha, each of them at least one time in their life and service as a prophet for Israel, a prophet of God, imploring God and raising a recently dead person to life. The multiplication here is one of extreme, not only in terms of the dry bones, you know, being very dry or very dead in a way, and all of these bodies, you know, thrown together in a way that who could make sense out of this chaos of dead humanity, but also the quantity of them, but also the very deadness of them. And Ezekiel turns to the Lord with this sense of, you alone know, dear God. And there exemplifies for us an option for us in our moments of, you know, not being able to see the hand of God, not being able to discern or recognize God's plan, his purpose, or his will in moments, to say, you, Lord, know, or you alone know. And thus to cast our faith upon him in the midst of our uncertainty and then wait. And so with great or gravely difficult times, you know, presents the moment for faith to rise up and say, yet I wait upon God in the midst of this bleak or dark moment, recognizing and knowing that our God is capable of far above and beyond all the imagination or the hope of humanity to bring and to restore life, and that is indeed his promise. So we may know God according to his promise. We may know God according to his past action. And then from the epistle reading in Romans 8, we are invited to know God according to his Spirit. That is, that we set our hearts and our minds on the things of the Spirit. And to that point, we may then limit the messages or the message of the reality of the present time. I think this especially pertinent for us in our day and time, where we live in a, you know, a 24/7 kind of news format, and the story, the account we are steeped in. The brokenness or the bleakness of the situation around. We are steeped in how perhaps the virus or the plague, you know, multiplies every several days numerically, and the situation seems to grow more and more grave, or the resources more and more limited, and so on. We're invited to know that moment in light of the word, the promises, the presence, but ultimately the Spirit of God working in us and sheltering us. So I'm not saying that, you know, the news is not important, but simply that it can be a healthy thing for us to limit our exposure to it and to perhaps match the exposure to the message of darkness with that of the light and the promises of God, and to balance certainly at least the anxiety with the things of the Spirit, which we note bring life and peace to those. But then thirdly, we're invited to know the Lord in light of the promise of his glory being revealed. And that begins simply with our submission. We recall this in light of the Lord's Prayer: thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But essentially, we submit ourselves to the mystery of God's will and how he may choose to be glorified in and through us, versus simply the glory of the idol of self-interest or self-comfort, just what is easy. Could this not have been prevented kind of moment, and thus missing the opportunity to grow in faith, even in the midst of times in which God may not be seen or present, or his plan or his purpose yet revealed to us. Ultimately in time, sometimes we may look back on life and our situations and then see with new perspective and say, now I see, or now I understand the purposes of God in and through that moment, or now I recognize, you know, how I was invited to grow in faith and trust in God, or how I was invited to search the Scriptures and to know God more fully through that time of difficulty or struggle in my life. But honestly, there may be things in our life experiences in which we're never privileged to that moment of comprehension or understanding, and each our lives are no less blessed by the opportunity to trust God through what we may not see and understand, and clearly here with the proximity of Lazarus being raised in a way that approximate It's the resurrection of Jesus, a way of understanding that God prepares us in time. He has prepared us through the account of his story, that Lazarus becomes a type or an example of the power of God to move beyond simply one recently dead, but as the sisters commented, one who now is dead long enough to smell poorly, smell bad, that's the stench of death, and yet God overcame that moment, so also in the crucifixion of our Savior, the moment, and it seems the most bleak and dark of all the moments of all of creation and the story of God and his relationship to us, and yet light dawns on the third day when our Savior comes forth from the grave with the grave cloths removed from him as the angels of the Lord ministered to him. So we thank God for this realization that we not only journey in time through ways in which our bodies are assembled according to the order of natural knowledge or according to the order of science, as the bone came to bone, each in proper place, sinews, flesh, and skin covering them, and yet this beautiful necessity of the Spirit and the breath of God being breathed upon us or resting upon us in a way that gives life or genuine, authentic, you know, spiritual life to our existence, you know, far beyond simply surviving a moment, but being invited to know the Lord through the midst of the darkness of our time. So God bless and keep you in his peace and his joy through this week, you know, whatever the days or the moments may hold for us individually or collectively. Turn your hearts upon the Lord and know his joy and his peace. In Jesus' name, amen.